quarterback throwing interceptions is much more likely than having someone fumble the ball. And then you have to recover it, too.
I've always felt like turnovers are just kind of organic.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
I don't think interceptions are. I think interceptions come from good defense and bad quarterback play. You know, force tight windows and the quarterback's not very good and you disguise your coverages pretty well. Like, you can force turnovers that way.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
See, I think with fumbles, those are a little bit more what I would consider lucky, because then you have to fall on it and recover it, too.
And it depends on how the ball bounces.
It's not round, as
a
wise man
once
said.
It's not round. You don't know which way it's going to bounce.
Yeah.
It could bounce to the left, to the right. I mean, it's a lemon-shaped object.
Sometimes it can just bounce right back up to you. It's a what?
It's a lemon-shaped object.
On 1340 WKGN.
Aren't lemons just like round?
Some,
like a little
tip on them sometimes, maybe?
Well,
I feel like when you see a lemon, a depiction of a lemon, like in a photo, like in a, you know, a graphic or something, it's shaped like a football. But when you actually buy a lemon in the store, it is just kind of round. But not all lemons. Some lemons are more, you know, they got more of a side to them. Some lemons have hips. Others are just circular.
What? Wait a minute. 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 What? Wait a minute.
Hour 3 kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. If you're watching on Periscope, you see this beautiful light reminding you to drink Truly. Drink what you truly want. It's lit up right now. It's so bright. It's so bright. It's so refreshing. I enjoyed some Truly at Hops and Hollers on Saturday as I watched Auburn break my heart. It wasn't even Auburn breaking my heart. As I watched Rick Barnes in Tennessee break my heart. But I was still drinking what I truly wanted, and it was still yummy and delicious. Only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar. We appreciate them for their support. Hour 3 headlines. Cody Mack truck barreling down the highway. Ooh, get out of the ditch. Move. Oh, you just hit a pedestrian.
Okay. Thanks, John. The Cleveland Browns held it. We're going to have to stop that. The Cleveland Browns held a funeral on Friday night for their beloved mascot, Swagger, who died suddenly earlier this month. We had the news on headlines, of course. You'll probably remember.
They really put that on, like, a live stream. What the
hell
was that?
Yes, that's they live streamed.
What the hell was that?
Swagger just lying in his casket, dead. Just a dead dog just lying there. The Browns, it was a weird thing to do. Cleveland.com had the live stream, and it was just – it was – sad to see, but weirder than anything, you know. It's a weird thing to do anyway, I think, but
yeah, no, it's weird to have a funeral for a dog, and it's weird to watch if you are
yeah,
a fan.
Like, what's the action? What are you waiting on? For him to hop out of the casket? I mean, what? Like,
just hear the stories about him being a good boy.
Yeah, I guess so. I've never.
Rufus was a good boy. There was once time a bird flew next to the window and he barked really loud at it and scared it off.
He also bit the mailman a few times. I mean, there's only so many stories you can tell about a dog anyway.
Yeah.
I've never been a big fan of open caskets myself, but I don't know.
No, it was a closed casket, what I saw. It wasn't open.
No, it was open.
It was open?
Yes, you can see the dead dog lying there.
The picture I saw, it was closed. It was an open casket?
Yes, yes.
No way.
It was open on the live stream.
No way.
Yes, it was.
Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland.com.
Dog funeral.
You can see Swagger lying there dead.
Oh, my God. The picture I saw was... Okay, no, you can't.
Yeah,
I was looking at the wrong side of the casket because I don't know how you guys do funerals, but every funeral I've been to, the head's been at the left side.
I don't remember.
Right? Wrong? The head's always at the left side, right?
Yeah, from what I remember at funerals I've been to.
You come in on the right side, you know, like every receiving friends, you go down the right side, you go like traffic laws, and it goes from feet to head, right?
It depends on which way the casket door opens, I guess.
Oh, well, yeah, now I think, but I've seen people flip the casket either way.
Okay, maybe there's something with the way I know you're supposed to bury people a certain way, facing the sun or away from the sun or whatever, but every funeral I've ever been to...
I don't think it matters with all the dirt.
Every funeral I've ever been to has been feet to head, and you go right, you know, like a regular line, you
stick. Yeah.
But I looked at the wrong side. Yes, there is the dog laying there on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
Yep, not great. Staying on the topic, I guess. Apparently, Vanessa Bryant has spoken at the celebration of life for Kobe. Apparently, it's very emotional.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel has gotten very emotional as well.
Jimmy, okay.
And, of course, we mentioned in hour one that Vanessa Bryant is filing a wrongful death lawsuit against the helicopter operator in the fatal crash. So, okay. We'll see how that plays out. Claiming that the helicopter operator was reckless.
Gotcha.
Of course, if you had wrecked less, this wouldn't even be an issue. Colorado nearing a deal with Dolphins assistant. This may be done by now. I don't know if this is done.
It's done.
Carl Durrell. He was 35-27 as UCLA's coach from 2003 to 2007.
Yep. That seems like a really weird hire. Either way.
Seems like the game may have passed that guy by, but now he's got the job at Colorado. Did you see where Joe Lunardi made the error on Saturday?
It was just a little salt to the wound as I was screaming on voluntary reaction presented by Miller Lite.
Talking about how we had moved into the bubble conversation with Saturday's win at Auburn. You know, I would say it's a big error, but in fairness, if I saw a team was up by 17 points in the second half, I'd feel pretty good about it too. Maybe he just didn't go back and check.
He thought the game was over.
Yeah. Yeah, many of us did.
We would have been back on the bubble. That was such a bad loss.
It was a bad loss. Rick Barnes commented.
I don't want to hear any more of his comments unless they're new from today.
I think they are new from today.
Okay, I haven't
is
seen
this
them
Troy Provost guy, isn't he a reporter? I think he was in school when I was in school.
I believe so.
Barnes on if the Auburn loss will have a lingering effect. I would be shocked if I would have thought that about any game. It would have been South Carolina. So Barnes not thinking that it'll have a lingering effect.
The good news
effect.
Is Tennessee did have a lingering effect coming around the South Carolina game. Did you watch the first half of the Vanderbilt game, Rick?
Yeah, that's.
Did
that's
you watch? Kind of... did you watch Tennessee struggle to beat a one-win team? Of course, in the SEC.
How about the Auburn fans chanting at Vescovi to go back to Uruguay?
Very xenophobic.
Disgusting.
Very xenophobic.
Disgusting. Should be banned from that arena for life. Well, we did have a...
They did say Auburn threw them out, though, so shout out to Auburn. Auburn did apparently remove them from the arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. They did take the guy out, I'm pretty sure. So that's good to see. Baseball this weekend. How about Tennessee baseball? I'm sure you saw we beat Texas Tech.
There's so many damn baseball rankings. Texas Tech was a top five team, top 16. Some rankings had them at number one in the country.
Number one, two, three, four, five, and six.
Yeah, Tennessee went through and handled business and swept the weekend.
That was good to see.
Yeah, tonight Tony Vitello and the boys. Still got to prove it in conference play, but I've been telling you I got these baseball tickets for the Vanderbilt series on the 17th.
Mm, yes.
And that might be like a top 10 matchup. I'm getting pretty excited about the prospect of Tennessee-Vanderbilt that weekend.
That's March 17th.
Yeah, it might be the 18th. It's the Saturday.
Is that St. Patty's Day? St. Patty's Day is always the 17th,
yeah,
isn't it?
Maybe it's like the 18th. It's like that. It's that weekend. It is March
21st, right?
Wait.
It'd be 21st?
I guess it's 21st, yeah. Yeah, I was way off. The 21st.
Hmm.
It was April 18th that we were looking at in April, but yeah, March 21st. Good call by you, Cam. So no, it's not St. Patty's Day. It's
interesting.
Like 4 days after. So that could be like a top 10, top 15 matchup.
It could be by that time. Have you ever watched a baseball game over there?
Yeah. Whenever I was in school, we went to a couple of them.
Yeah.
They're just always easy to get to. It was fun. You could sit three or four rows up and yell at the other pitchers and stuff. It was kind of fun.
Drink?
No, never went drinking for the college games. I was underage, so I just kind of – I don't even know if they had the porches then. I just sat like in the general admission.
Hmm. Apparently, Clint Eastwood has turned on Donald Trump and is now supporting Bloomberg.
He is supporting Bloomberg.
For the 2020 presidential election, which is big news because Clint Eastwood was a big Trump guy, from what I remember, back in 2016.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything we need to take away from this?
Not really. It's just a headline. Unless you have anything you want to say about it.
No.
All right.
I got nothing to add about Mike Bloomberg and Clint Eastwood.
Very well. NASA tweeted today that they are saddened by the passing of celebrated Hidden Figures mathematician Katherine Johnson. Katherine Johnson was 101. She helped to break down racial and social barriers in her time as an astronaut. No, that can't be right.
No, she worked on like the behind the scenes stuff. She basically did the calculations that allowed them to get
exactly
the hard stuff.
Right. Yeah. She was very good at math. Yeah. Very, very good at math, from what I've read. So
yes.
Rest in peace, Catherine.
I'd like to know what high school she went to and where it ranked.
Probably. Yeah, probably
in that Hidden Figures movie that was really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, she was in that. So.
Wendy's dropping the nationwide breakfast March 2nd.
Will be.
Yep. Local radio host is running out of headlines unless you want some hockey stuff.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
There's a lot of hockey headlines today, actually, but I just can't imagine that anyone cares.
Any idea what led the box office this weekend? Let me see. I'll get that update for you. Looks like 24.8 million. No. Holdovers. Sonic? 26 million? Looks like Sonic.
Sonic.
Did Sonic win the weekend?
The Hedgehog? What is...
Yeah, they've been making money.
It appears that Sonic won the weekend.
What is Sonic?
Wasn't this its second weekend out too? Or
yeah, it was down. It was down 56%, but still had
nothing else beat it.
Still had 26 million. Yeah, bad weekend for movies.
What is that about?
Like Sonic the Hedgehog? Sonic. Like
oh, it is the Hedgehog.
Yeah, it's like a live action one. Jim Carrey's playing the like Dr. Eggman guy, and they got like an animated Sonic guy running around.
Yeah, interesting. It's done. Basically, $255 million worldwide.
Yeah, it's making money.
$160 in the U.S. So we might get a sequel with this. Call of the Wild, that Disney movie that's kind of like Doolittle with the animals. It did very bad. It was really expensive too, and didn't do very good. It did. I think it did It did $25 million. And they've spent over $200 million in production and marketing costs. So.
Jeez.
Bad year so far for the whole Disney animal type of movies they've put out. Brahms the Boy 2 did 5.9 million. That was a sequel from I guess it was a Netflix movie, but maybe it came out in theaters too. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, like Scary Movie.
The Boy was pretty good. I liked the first one. Did you watch the first one?
I didn't watch the first one.
First one was actually surprisingly good. I went into it with very low expectations, but I came out of it thinking that was original and creepy. I thought it was really good. And then they make a sequel. And then, you know, the first one, you ever watched Walking Dead? Are you familiar with the characters at all?
A little bit.
Maggie.
Yeah.
Maggie from The Walking Dead, the lead actress, I guess. So I was like, you know what? I kind of like Maggie. Let's see what this is about. She did pretty good in it. Next thing I know, in the sequel, they got Katie Holmes. This is her big return to movies. I'm like, I don't need Katie Holmes in these movies. No disrespect to Katie. I have nothing against her, but A, where's Maggie? B, why is this her return? But it didn't look good. I don't know how it's getting received. I'll probably go see it because I like the first one and I like supporting things. Plus, I have a free movie pass. Or not free, but, you know, I pay $18 a month to watch unlimited movies, so I need to go take advantage of it. But it didn't do very well. Only did 5.9 million, so that's not good.
Not idea. Oh, yeah.
Don't tell me if the ratings are bad. I don't want to know. You're laughing. That makes me think they're bad.
I was about to look him up.
Oh, okay. You didn't look him up?
Yeah, I didn't finish.
Well, don't finish because I don't want to know. I don't want to know because I do plan on seeing it, but I don't want to go in there thinking. It's really embarrassing when you know a movie's got like 30%, but you're like, screw it. I'm going to go watch it anyways. Really embarrassing. You're looking around at the theater around the rest of the losers. You're like, oh, yeah, you too. I like going in at least thinking it might be good.
At least those people don't know yet.
Right, right. I don't want to know that I'm going to see a stupid movie. Then it becomes embarrassing. Because I think I've got my mind made up that I'm going to watch it. You know what I mean? Although there's been a couple times where I'm like, man, I wish I would have known that movie had like a 7%. Like Fantasy Island, Pitch Perfect 3. That was a movie I went to watch one New Year's Day, I think. That was really bad. I wish I would have checked the ratings on that one. I watched Annabelle Comes Home, and the one that was from last year.
Is that a horror film?
Yeah, they've made too many. They've squeezed this doll Annabelle. They've milked her dry. They've milked her dry. No more Annabelle movies, please. This is what, the third one plus the Conjuring movies. We've got too many Annabelle movies. Let's let it go.
It's almost like we've milked the entire genre dry.
No.
I mean, what's the next one going to be? They're just going to have some possessed doll with a different name.
No, they're doing a movie about a guy that's invisible.
That actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It looks way better than the Kevin Bacon version.
Oh, yeah.
You ever seen Hollow Man, the Kevin Bacon one?
I have not.
That one, he like kind of stumbles into being invisible and then just, you know, slowly becomes drunk with power. Like, ooh, I can go see naked girls. That's essentially what he wants to do. This one seems a little bit more malicious, where the guy's wanting to get invisible just so he can haunt this woman. I think it looks kind of good. Again, don't look up reviews, because that's one that could be really bad.
No, I may go watch that one, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch it. There haven't made any scary movies about a radio host snapping and choking his coworker with the microphone cord.
No, not yet.
So there's still a chance for that one.
Could be inspired by true events.
Yeah. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Did you see, coming out of the combine, bad news for Tennessee linebacker Darrell Taylor? He won't be working out at the combine. Nothing. I mean, I guess this is something that's been known, but it's, you know, coming out now from the NFL reporters. I missed this if it was reported here locally, but Darrell Taylor underwent surgery last month to fix a stress fracture in his left leg. Says he plans to hold a pro day in April, assuming everything progresses well. Had 16 and a half sacks over the past two seasons, but the NFL draft guys I follow say this might bump him from round two to the third day, which, you know, means he'll be fourth round at the highest. So Darrell Taylor's injury issues may be costing him some money. Cam, you had something to say?
I was just going to ask if he was going to make it at least a pro day, because I was like, you got to at least get some sort of numbers out there.
He says that, I guess the report that I saw from an NFL writer was still wants to try to have one in April.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you got to get something out there.
What day is the draft this year?
April 20-something.
Yeah, I was like,
April 20-something?
Yeah.
That's going to be my guess.
April 23rd.
Yeah, I nailed it.
It's kind of wild. It's 2 months away.
And it's in Vegas this year, right?
It is.
They're going to do it. This is going to be so weird with them doing it out on the water, taking the guys in boats.
They are boating the people out and boating them back.
I feel like there's a little potential for disaster.
Yeah,
like,
there is.
Like a guy falling off a boat, maybe. Like, that could happen. Not everybody's used to being on a boat. I mean, you ever been on I'm sure it'll be a decent-sized boat, but still. Sometimes you get on a boat, you know, and it rocks a little bit.
What if somebody falls in the water?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering. What if somebody falls right behind the boat and gets hit by the propeller and just you know, throat cut right there in the Bellagio fountain?
Do you get another pick at that point? Do you get to say, "Hey, I don't want that guy anymore"?
I would think you have to.
I don't want to draft that guy anymore. No, he never signed the contract.
Yeah, I think if your guy gets killed at the draft because of something the draft is doing,
I think he gets just hurt.
Yeah,
he's dead. Like if he gets any just nicked by the motor.
But you should get a comp pick, too. You should get a new pick, and you get a comp pick
trauma. Then you'd have the Patriots trying to draft a clumsy guy and having somebody.
They'd be pushing people off.
Conspiracy.
Having somebody to push the guy into the propeller.
Conspiracy Patriots.
Yeah.
It would happen to the Browns, probably, right? But the Browns would be the team it would happen to.
Maybe.
So Darrell Taylor not working out at the combine.
Yeah. Nope. Another scout I saw was like, he was one of their favorite players in the draft, but that's injury concerns. And so, medicals are going to be big for a lot of the players this week.
A stress fracture in the leg, especially if you're only giving yourself, you know, a month, 2 months to heal before there. Like, I can't imagine he is going to be able to work out well, and I'm not going to be able to imagine that he's going to, you know, pass everyone. Like, some people might just take him completely off the board.
Yeah.
But Darrell Taylor is someone who's been really good at Tennessee, and, you know, 16 and a half sacks over 2 years, that's production in the SEC. Now, I don't know exactly what Drell Taylor's splits are in terms of what he did non-conference versus conference games. But I remember 2 years ago down in Athens, Georgia, he was wreaking havoc down there against, you know, an NFL offensive line.
Yeah, he'll be, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Maybe he slides back to a better team, something like that, just gets lucky. But
If he was a first-round pick, Cam, I would say that. But, it wasn't like he was going to be a first-round pick. So, I mean, he was going to have the potential to, you know, fall back to a better team. He's just now costing himself a lot of money. And that's the worst time to get hurt. So, tough news there.
Unfortunate, certainly.
We find anything about the XFL ratings? We find any TV numbers there for week 3?
No, I haven't seen anything on that. Did you watch this weekend?
I watched the Dallas game. I watched Dallas versus Seattle. I watched a lot of that game because I wanted to see what Seattle's crowd was like. I saw some of the St. Louis game, but not much because I was traveling. I was kind of in and out yesterday.
I watched a bit of the Tampa game Saturday. I've been pretty consistent. First 3 weeks, I've watched about 20 minutes each Saturday of one game. Just kind of flipped it on for a minute.
I've just seen some local stuff there. They are expected to drop the official ratings on Tuesday.
Did we ever get last week's ratings?
They dropped a little bit from week 1 to 2. They dropped 30%. So that's not uncommon. Those numbers were thought to be fine, especially because they went up locally in some of the markets where the teams are at. This week, I haven't seen any. I guess with the teams. I know Seattle put on a good show, so that's been the strongest market.
Oh, St. Louis filled up their stadium, though. They had 29,000, in attendance.
They didn't fill up the entire stadium. Yeah, they didn't do the upper deck, but they sold out of their 29,000 allotment. And they had a fun atmosphere, and they won big, too. So, they are some of the winners of the weekend, I would imagine, because they showed that, you know, that a community can, you know, rally behind a team.
Absolutely.
But I do worry about the XFL because it seems like that New York team is trash.
Oh, man, yeah.
It seems like New York is trash, and obviously that's going to be their biggest market. And that team is very bad to watch. The offense is garbage. They at least did avoid a little bit of a disaster as L.A. won yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Got their first win.
Defenders,
They're 1-2 now. You know, so it would have been disastrous if you'd have had LA be 0-3 and New York be 1-2 with no offense. So at least LA looks like they're improving a little bit.
You know, that was Cardell Jones' first loss since high school.
I do know that. I'll go ahead and take that off the losers list, Cam. Go ahead. You just spoiled my winners and losers list.
My bad.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We'll play some winners and losers of the weekend. Coming up next, Rockwood, this is Talk Sports.
It's the best.
All right, it's Monday. It is 2:30. You know what that means, everybody? Say it with me. It's time for winners and losers of the weekend.
Winners and losers.
Cam, hit the music.
Winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers.
All right, Cody, hit me with your winners. Who won this weekend?
Okay, John, my number 3 winner of the weekend, I'm going to go with the G League affiliate coach of the Bucks.
What the hell happened with the G League affiliate coach of the Bucks?
He stood up to officiating, and he said to these officials what we all want to say to the officials.
Okay.
He said he was coaching a game against Grand Rapids. His team lost, whatever. But he said the officiating definitely went right for Grand Rapids. That was as unprofessional as an officiating performance I have ever seen. I hope you tweet this and tag the league because it was embarrassing. Matt Rafferty, guessing he's the official, is a effing clown. That being said, we have to be better at the end of games. We can't blow a lead. However bad and biased and unfair and illegal and cheating the referees are. Took a shot at him. I like seeing a guy call out the officials from time to time.
Okay.
He's my number three winner.
Okay.
His team lost, but I like what he said.
You gave him some shine.
Yeah.
For him to make news, that's, I guess, good for him.
Yeah, he wouldn't have made news regardless. It's cool to make the news.
Yeah.
No matter what it's for.
I disagree on that.
Maybe not always, but most of the time.
Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it gets your radio station called multiple times.
Yeah, well, have
a different... Your Facebook rating tanked from a 5.0 down to a 3.4. Sometimes it's tough.
Who cares? Number two winner for me, Kansas basketball. Got to give a shout out to Kansas and my guy, Udoka Azubuki.
Yeah.
My favorite player in basketball. Kansas with a big win, knocking off Baylor. Kansas will move to number one. They defeated Baylor 64-61 on Saturday. Azubuki had 23 points. It was a big-time game in Kansas.
I'm so tired of you talking about this Azubuki guy.
Showing us its legitimacy.
It's like you just learned he existed, so you're going to just keep talking about him nonstop.
I know a lot about him. I've seen him play against us 2 years in a row. Thank you. Or did he not play last year?
No, he played last year.
Yeah. Number one winner.
He fouled out against us last year.
Still couldn't beat him. Number one winner for me, Tyson Fury. Everybody's going to call Deontay Wilder a loser and talk about how he was just, you know, getting beat up and he looked just awful and all this stuff. But Tyson Fury, nobody expected him to win last week. All the talk was about Wilder. Tyson Fury comes out, gets the win, made a lot of headlines doing it. And I saw a thing. He's a great spokesperson for mental health. He was struggling a couple years ago, apparently. I saw on the Rich Eisen show, maybe. He drove his car 160 miles an hour on the interstate, and he was going to wreck the car and kill himself. And he decided, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm going to get better. And he got better, and he's come back. And now here he is, number one boxer in the world now. So shout out to him.
Big win for the guys without the best physique. You saw him standing next to Deontay Wilder. You're like, oh, Deontay Wilder's going to win. This is, you know, sure, I guess Ruiz lost the rematch, but, you know, Andy Ruiz beat Joshua a year ago. Fat guy versus really ripped, in-shape guy. Forget the rematch. You had Tyson Fury embarrass Deontay Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. Neither one of them made my list, though, because I don't feel like either one of them really changed their stars too much. You would probably get a third big fight. They'll probably run it back, and Wilder will get his chance for redemption, although... maybe he just got concussed a little too early in that fight. But although I was impressed with Wilder, the way he kept fighting and trying, and even after the fight was mad at his corner for saving his life and maybe career by throwing in the towel, but he said, I'm a warrior. You're supposed to let me go out on my shield. And just die there on the battlefield, I guess is what he wanted to do. But either way, my number three winner of the weekend, I went with Jason Tatum. I thought what you saw yesterday in that Lakers-Celtics game really helped raise Jason Tatum's profile. You had LeBron James give him the rub after the game, saying Jason Tatum is a future king, saying, you know, watch out, league. And Jason Tatum was really, really close with Kobe Bryant. So, you know, playing in Staples Center a day before Kobe Bryant's memorial was big for him, and he came out and balled out. He's my number three winner of the weekend. Number two, I'm going with Houston sports teams that start with the letter R. The Rockets keep winning. They look really good since since going with this ultimate small ball lineup. They look really good. Russell Westbrook has stopped shooting threes. Russell Westbrook is just attacking the rim nonstop. He punked out Rudy Gobert. He punked out the entire arena in Salt Lake City against the Jazz. James Harden and Westbrook combined for like 74 points in their game on Saturday night. And the Houston Roughnecks, the only remaining undefeated team in the XFL, looking like the title favorites there. So Houston sports teams that start with the letter R, they are my second biggest winners of the weekend. Number one, Bernard Sanders. Bernard Sanders, he went to Nevada. He was victorious. The steam continues to build for Mr. Sanders. That is three states and three victories. Despite whatever Pete Buttigieg he may say about Iowa, he did not win the popular vote. Bernie Sanders won the popular vote. They went to Nevada over the weekend and scored a resounding victory. And we thank the great state of Nevada the culinary union workers, and everyone who helped bring this together. We were able, in the Bernard Sanders campaign, to stop by Texas, go by El Paso, talk to the fine people of Texas, on the way to South Carolina, where we will face our greatest test yet. Because a lot of the old white people in South Carolina, they love Joe Biden. Many people will say that Bernard Sanders cannot resonate with the black voters, the black female voters. There are a lot of black female voters in South Carolina. The big test for Bernie is how he does in South Carolina this weekend. We will see if the burn continues to grow. Bernie Sanders, the biggest winner of the weekend. What do you think? I feel like I was.
I thought you did pretty well. I thought you did pretty well.
I'm pretty good at that. I've been working on it quietly at home. I feel like I've been watching a lot of Bernie. I've been watching a lot of the debates. I feel like that was pretty good.
I thought you did pretty well.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
Yes. Got a little. The more I talk, the worse it got. I will acknowledge.
It's
minute
hard to
three
keep
of
it up.
That, you know, it's got a little bit harder. But this isn't my regular voice.
Senator from Vermont. I like Bernie a lot.
Let's go with the losers of the weekend, Cody. Who you got?
I have. By the way, I was going to say I'm very confused as to why all the black voters in South Carolina like Joe Biden so much. He seems to do the best with the black vote in the South.
It seems as if Joe. Oh no, I was a little bit more of Obama, but I was thinking about Obama. It seems as if. Nah, I've lost the impression now.
It seems
as if Joe Biden gets the rub from being close with Obama. Is what it seems like. So we will see if he is still, getting that momentum in South Carolina. Joe Biden keeps thinking he's going to win South Carolina. We will see. But yeah. I would say in large parts because he is close with Barack Obama.
You know, it's hard to do a good Obama.
I wasn't trying to do an Obama. I was trying to do Bernie again, but I was thinking about Obama, so then I just messed it up.
You know, I wish I could do an Obama. That's because that's one of the coolest voices. Losers of the weekend. Number three, I got to go with the Colorado fans. Football fans, yeah. There are a few of them out there, and they hired Carl Durrell, and that just seems like a guy that's going to get fired probably year two. So that sucks if you're a Colorado Buffaloes fan. If I'm Ralphie today, I'm probably just kind of laying in the pen, not real happy.
Yeah.
Number two for me, losers, the Browns for the dog funeral. I can't get over the dog funeral, the open casket for Scrappy or whatever his name is. That's not his name. I can't remember his name. You don't. First of all, if you're going to do a dog funeral, you can't do an open casket. It's just – it was a weird thing. I got to go number two, Browns. It's always easy to call the Browns a loser. Number one loser, San Diego State basketball. You're number four in the country, and you lose to UNLV. This is not UNLV of 1990. This is a 14-14 squad. The UNLV Running Rebels are 14-14. I guess now they're 15-14. Not a very good look for San Diego State. I can't be convinced that team has a shot at a national championship.
Spin zone, some would say that it's better to get the loss out now. The pressure of going undefeated is too much. Go ahead and get your loss out of the way. No, now you no longer have to worry about an undefeated season. You just worry about winning the rest of your games.
It was a 26-game win streak San Diego State had, and it was snapped.
That was your number one loser of the weekend?
Yeah, San Diego State.
Number three for me, I went with Mark Cuban. Not only did his team take an L in Atlanta, but then he got on the internet and cried like a little baby about it. We're protesting. The refs are unfair. The refs were cheating me. Shut up, Mark Cuban. Shut up. Number two, I went with a combo. I went with Rich Barnes and Roy Williams. I just gave them a combo platter. We've already talked about what happens with Rick Barnes. But North Carolina lost. Cam, you said what, their seventh game in a row?
Yep.
Good Lord.
Their seventh game in a row. They are now 3-13 in the ACC. They are 10-17 overall. Correct me if I'm wrong. Roy Williams and Rich Barnes are like two of the four highest paid coaches in college basketball. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is.
Yeah, it is.
Bad weekend for both of them. They are my second biggest losers of the weekend. Number one for me, I also went with the I didn't just go to San Diego State, but I went with college basketball's Group 5. Gonzaga took an L. San Diego State took an L.
Man. Roy Williams has already got – he's already tied for the most losses in his entire career in a season.
This is 2018. I want 2019 USA Today. Where's the database from 2019? Or do they
– Jeez.
Roy Williams' worst year ever, he went 20-17.
How much money?
In 2009. He was the NIT runner-up. And that's his worst year ever, 20-17. And they are 10-17. I guess he could still go 20-17.
Eh, it looks like
crazy thing is they still beat the Oregon team that's ranked like 14th.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah, they're
Williams
bad.
Makes roughly $4 million a year, so maybe he's not all the way up at maybe he's not as high as I thought, but he is. I guess he's still going to be in the top 5 or 6. But Chris Mack at Louisville, Bill Self at Kansas, and I believe Tony Bennett make more than him now. And Tom Izzo.
Let's get these boomers out of college basketball. Let's go higher. Some young guys with some energy. Had enough of these boomers in college basketball. They've right. had their day, okay? It's over.
Okay.
I want some guys in their 30s and 40s to be represented. Too many 70-year-olds in college basketball.
Pretty funny tweet I just saw from a political reporter because Team Bloomberg tweeted out a picture of their office that said, racist oligarch. Bleep Bloomberg.
That was in Knoxville.
Right. And then a reporter wrote, quote tweeted and said, LOL at thinking you're special because Tennessee fans took to the streets to express how much they don't want you.
Ah,
that's a pretty good tweet.
Yeah, how about that?
That's a pretty good tweet.
Yeah, it is.
That was me that took to the street. Not Bloomberg.
I thought you quoted the tweet.
No. A reporter said that.
Oh.
But I was just saying.
Yeah.
That was a part of the rally.
Yeah, that was your part of your deal there.
Should I lead a charge against Bloomberg? Nah.
Might be good for Bernie, the Bernie campaign.
I don't really care.
I feel like you kind of.
Last call on the other side is
Bernie.
Time out. You're out of control. Last time out. Last call on the other side. We're out of timeouts. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, it's.
Last call is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Stop by and pick you up a bottle at your local package store. I'm going to drink me some Volunteer Vodka tomorrow live at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum as I go to a concert there. Looking forward to that. They are the official vodka of the Civic Coliseum. All right, let's play some Pump the Brakes or Keep Rolling. Cody, you want to go first or second?
Second.
All right, let's see what I got here. 62-year-old breaks a record.
Yep.
Are you familiar with the plank position? Not the Jay-Z, not the meme from a decade ago where you just laid flat. Are you familiar with like working out the plank position where you get like on your elbows, kind of like a push-up position, but you hold yourself up with your elbows
mm-hmm.
in that position.
Mm-hmm.
This 62-year-old broke the world record. He reclaimed it. How long do you think someone could sit in that position?
So the plank position, just elbows, and then your feet. What's going on with your feet?
Yeah, it's basically like you're doing a push-up, but instead of holding yourself up with your hands, you hold yourself up with your elbows and like your back.
And you just stay in that position.
Yeah.
How long could someone?
What do you think the world record is there?
I
get lucky if I can do a minute.
Minute 17.
Okay.
Something like that.
Cam, that seems really low.
that's not it.
I don't know what it is.
Maybe 30 minutes?
8 hours.
Okay,
that's a long time.
This 62-year-old former Marine spent over 8 hours in a plank position reclaiming the world record. 8 hours. My God.
Wow.
That's got to be good for your core.
Yeah, it's a core. You never had to do that in like football workouts?
Nah, I'm sure we did, but I always half-assed everything.
Good for the core, good for the back. He did it for 8 hours. Let's see. He first set the record in 2011 with a time of 1 hour, 20 minutes, and 25 seconds. He had that record then taken from him. So he came back this time and went 8 hours, 15 minutes, and 15 seconds, which got the record back for him. How did he celebrate? By doing 75 push-ups, a release says. He then went on to say, I've taken the plank as far as I can take it. I guess he's moved on to a different challenge. But the session was estimated to burn 4,252 calories. He's trained nearly 7 hours a day for the past 18 months by doing 21 hours of plank time, 270,000 push-ups, and nearly 674,000 sit-ups, a press release says. Congratulations to him.
I feel like that guy's got a little too much energy.
Yeah, I think they got to kill all three of us in this room.
Kill us?
Yeah.
I don't know if he could kill
us.
There
were four of us that came out. If they put four of us in a room together and said only one man's leaving, it's going to be him.
I thought you were saying like just him straight up versus us three. I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Have a shot.
I don't know about that. Just because he's physically fit doesn't make him a killer.
And he's a Marine.
Oh, he's a Marine?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. He's going to, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was just some physically fit.
Oh, wow. This is worth breaking news.
Woo!
I feel like it's bad for us. This is bad for us. Long time Alabama strength coach Scott Cochran. Familiar with the name?
Mm-hmm.
He is leaving Alabama.
Mm. Yeah, that could be bad.
Well, because he's going to Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
That's
the bad part. I thought you were going to say because
hiring Fitzgerald.
They might hire our guy.
I guess they could go and do that, too.
Oh, that would be a double whammy, wouldn't it?
Oh, God. Yes,
they're going to need a new strength coach.
No.
I should have said I got good news and bad news, but I guess if you just said bad news first, I would have been screwed. But, yeah, Scott Cochran leaving Alabama, that's good. He's going to Georgia. That seems bad.
It could be double bad.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that idea of it, that prospect of it.
Maybe he's washed up, you know? Can you get washed up as a strength coach?
Yeah.
Maybe his exercises aren't as good as they used to be.
I feel like Rock Gulkson was kind of washed up. We were all excited about hiring him. He didn't seem to be that good.
Scott Cochran, his teams haven't been good the last couple years. They haven't been as good. Seems to be a bit of a drop-off. Maybe his lifting exercises aren't as good.
Perhaps.
Maybe his weights are rusty, you know?
Maybe sending him as an inside guy to ruin Georgia.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be nice. It would be nice. Yeah, I'm more concerned. What if they hire our guy? That's going to be no good.
Could be bad.
I like our guy. I got a FedEx driver who jumped off a bridge to avoid this.
Okay. Pop your brakes!
A FedEx driver jumped off a bridge to avoid an oncoming truck. 18-wheeler coming right at him, barreling right at him.
So he jumped out of the truck and off the bridge, or he drove the truck off
the bridge? He jumped. He was out. His truck had a problem.
Okay.
So he had, like, you know, flat tire or something. Sure. I don't know. And this truck was hurtling right toward him.
The truck was jumping?
No.
You said hurtling, right?
Hurling?
I feel like hurling was better than hurtling.
It's like hurtling, not like hurtling.
Hurtling right toward him.
And there's hurtling.
The truck was not jumping over hurdles.
Cam's right. There is a T there, yeah.
That's what I said.
Okay, maybe I heard hurdle, so sorry. Maybe
I did. I said hurdle. He was hurtling.
With a T or a D?
With a T.
I heard it with a D. I heard hurdle.
The truck was hurtling right towards him.
It still sounds like hurt with a D to me.
They sound the same.
Well, I'm apologizing.
Anyway, the truck was coming at him, so he jumps off the bridge.
That's the example that the Cambridge Dictionary uses, too. The truck came hurtling towards us.
Yeah. Well, he jumped and fell 75 feet off this bridge. He survived with a few broken ribs. Jeremiah Cribb was his name. He was doing his overnight driving shift, ended up going 75 feet. So apparently he was stalled along a bridge in Salisbury. He had no other option.
When is this story from?
This story is from Sunday.
Okay. It's just because when I Googled hurtling towards him, there's a story from 2019 from Viral Hog that says delivery man dodges a runaway truck hurtling towards him. So I was like, oh, that's cool.
He jumped over the side of the bridge and assumed there was a grassy median to meet him on the other side. Oh, so he jumped on the inside of the bridge. I guess this was like a divided highway, you know? And he thought there was a median there. It turns out there wasn't.
Awesome.
And he went 75 feet.
Did we get an update on his status?
Yeah, he lived. I told you, he just broke some ribs.
75 feet?
Yeah.
Was it into water?
Onto a hard sandbar.
Where does sand? I get the sand rank high on like what you would want to land on, I guess.
I don't know. Probably not hard sand.
Yes, but 75 feet is still pretty. And it depends on how dense the sand is. I guess I'd rather.
I guess I'd rather land on sand than the road.
Yeah.
I would rather land on sand than water, right? Or no? Would you rather land on water or sand?
At 75 feet, I would guess water.
I don't know. Water can mess you up, too.
I feel like at 75 feet, I'm picking sand over water.
Yeah, if the sand's soft enough, yeah.
He said it was pitch black.
But 20 feet, I'm taking water over sand.
Yeah.
He said it was pitch black dark, too, and he just started free-falling. That would be so terrifying. pitch black dark, just falling.
It would be so cool, though, if you lived.
What would you rank number one on things you'd like to land on?
Snow.
I'd probably go trampoline.
Trampoline? Yeah. I would not want to land on a trampoline. If you fall 75 feet, if you don't go through it, you're going to just get catapulted back in the air.
And then come back down. Eventually, you just land on the trampoline.
No, you never land right at the same place. It's going to shoot you to the right or left.
I feel like snow is a bad answer, too. Snow gets hard.
I feel like more people survive like bad snowboarding accidents than they do most other things.
Cotton.
Yeah, give me a giant pile of pillows.
Big pillow?
Yeah.
Well, I just smell like natural substances.
Trampoline.
What happens if you land in the wrong spot of like, and you hit the little spring, and your leg gets caught in the spring, just amputated.
Probably a concussion at least.
The drive's coming up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, it's Kelly